The Lord be with you.
Amen.
Welcome in the name of our suffering servant, our risen Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Through our Wednesdays in Lent, we've been working our way through Isaiah 52 and 53, the great suffering servant song in Isaiah, the fourth of the servant songs. And tonight we see not only the suffering and the surprise and the sorrow, but we see the success of our suffering servant for us. And it's all couched in a very simple question. What is the will of God? Ponder that as we hear God's Word and receive God's gifts tonight. We're getting closer and closer and closer to our junior confirmation as well as Holy Week. This coming Sunday is Palm Sunday. We'll have the procession with palms, so make sure you, if the kids want to participate in that, come just a couple of minutes early and we'll participate in that. Palm Sunday is a big day here at Good Shepherd. And that will kick off our Holy Week worship services. We have church every day next week. In your news and notes, there is an outline for all the different services next week. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We're your full service Holy Week church. And I'm not sure which ones are going to be broadcast live on the radio. I'm sure Wednesday will be for sure. And we'll make an announcement on Sunday, any other services that will be broadcast as well. Two opportunities for afternoon worship next week, Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday. We'll each have a 12:15 service. We're done with our Wednesday 12:15 services, and we're also done with our fellowship meals during Lent. Boy Scouts did a great, great job tonight, and very thankful for all the folks who put together our meals this year for our Wednesday fellowship time during Lent. This Saturday is the Easter egg hunt, and so make sure you get the word out on that, 10 o'clock Saturday morning. And next Wednesday during Holy Week, we'll have part four of our confirmation questioning. Those of you that came into church just a little bit early got a chance to hear us being grilled or practicing, whatever you want to call it, in getting ready for next week. So a lot of activities that are happening. Check out the news and notes and all the other tables and sign-up sheets and things that are out there, and I won't bother you with that stuff at the end of the service. In fact, at the end of the service, I have kind of a big announcement that I need to make on behalf of the church. No, I don't have a call, and Pastor Murundi doesn't have a call or anything like that, but it will be worth sticking around till the end of church to hear the big announcement. All right, how's that for a teaser? Our service for this evening, our opening hymn, Great Lenten Hymn, Glory Be to Jesus, 433. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 1, page 151 and following. We have a worship insert for the night. On the front is our introit. It's really Psalm 51. It's a little bit longer. It goes over onto the second page. Two scripture readings for tonight. We'll read that suffering servant song from Isaiah 52 and 53, and we will conclude our passion narrative through the Gospel of Matthew, and we will see the crucifixion and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Please note that we'll sing the Lenten responses and no hymn of praise. We'll save that until Easter Sunday. Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we come before You and we know that we are beset by many worries and troubles and anxieties. Oftentimes we wonder what is going on in our world, and even more specifically, we want to know what part You have in it. Heavenly Father, You have taught us through Jesus to pray, Thy will be done. And yet we have many, many questions as to what Your will for our life actually is. Teach us tonight. Teach us Your will. Teach us through the suffering servant, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's in His name that we pray. Amen. 433. Service setting 1, page 151. Please stand as you're able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins unto God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your presence and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in His mercy, has given His Son to die for you, and for His sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by His authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We sing together Psalm 51.
Abundant mercy, for I am my transgressor.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
The Lord have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, by your great goodness, mercifully look upon your people, that we may be governed and preserved evermore in body and soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. Elena, come on down. You're up. All right, one of our special joys during our Lenten season is hearing from our junior confirmands. Tonight we have Elena Novacek and Novacek? Novacek? Gosh, I was practicing all night to get that right. Okay, and her essay is on John 8, verse 12. All right, let's... Okay, let's go. Elena has a cold tonight, so bear with her. I told her that'll help her slow down and talk slow.
John 8:12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus told all sinners that he is our Savior, and whoever believes and trusts in him will not suffer in hell, but will have eternal life with him in his kingdom. Believers will never walk in spiritual darkness, but are promised the gift of salvation, secured by Jesus' death on Calvary's cross. The book of John is written for all people of the world to share the amazing truth of Jesus Christ, which is the forgiveness of sins we receive through his sacrificial suffering and death and his glorious resurrection. The book of John is written so that we may recognize how blessed we are to receive absolution from our sins. He is our Lord and Savior, our God made flesh and blood. The Bible teaches us the law and gospel many times in the same verse. For example, Romans 5:20 states, "The law came in so that the transgressions would increase, but where sin is increased, grace abounded all the more." Showing us that even the sin increasing, we are still loved and forgiven by our Lord and Savior. Another example is Romans 3:28. "For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law, which assures those of us whom have blessed by the gift of faith in our Lord will have eternal life." The law in John 8:12, "I am the light of the world, whoever follows me," represents those observing the first commandment, "You shall have no other gods." The gospel is represented by the rest of the verse, "We'll never walk in darkness, but we'll have the light of life." Unbelievers who die in their sin were destined to spend eternity in hell. To never walk in darkness means as we walk with Jesus, he will enjoy the light of life and eternity in heaven with our Lord. The law is very important because it tells us what to strive for as we live our lives and reminds us of what we shouldn't do. God wants us to follow his word, and we should do our very best to follow the law. When we fail, as we always do, the gospel is there to tell us that no matter what, our sins are forgiven. Jesus is there with the light of his love and forgiveness won for us by him, crucified and risen to take away the sin of the world. He continues to give us the light of life as we hear his word and receive his gifts in church through the body and the blood of our Lord, Jesus Christ. When something horrible happens in our lives, it can be easy to lose our faith. If a loved one becomes ill or dies, or if they are presented with other difficult challenges, we may ask ourselves, why does God let this happen? We know that the wages of sin is death, but God doesn't want to make people unhappy. We also know that when a believer dies, they're in a better place. Recently, I lost my great-grandpa and a friend named Haley. Both had suffered with medical problems, and I kept my faith because God saved them through the sacrifice of his only son, Jesus. My mom also had a major surgery, and I was very worried about her. I found reassurance when I prayed and never lost my faith, and I'm thankful for that. If we truly believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, we shouldn't doubt him when times are rough. As long as we follow him here on earth, we will enjoy life eternal with him and in heaven. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I was not familiar with John 8:12 until it was assigned to me. Now that I have studied it, it means a lot to me. I have learned to never doubt my faith and always know that Jesus died for me. This verse can help people get through hard times as it did for me. If they doubt their faith or God's love and forgiveness, they can refer to this verse to find comfort. I know I have. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus was innocent and died for us sinners once and for all so that we may delight in everlasting life. In the light of his holy, precious, and perfect love, Jesus died for me, and he died for you. Turn away from darkness and turn and follow Jesus and walk in the light into life everlasting.
Well, when you hear the sermon, you'll know why I wanted this particular essay on this particular night, because it ties in wonderfully with the will of God, as we will hear in our sermon. We continue with the readings for this evening. Our first reading, our Old Testament reading, is from Isaiah 52 and 53, the fourth suffering servant song. Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted. As many were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred, beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him. For that which has not been told them, they see. And that which they have not heard, they understand. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire for him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrow. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. by oppression and judgment, he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. And they made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich man his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief when his soul makes an offering for guilt. He shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We continue with our Lenten responsory, page 157. You may remain seated. Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 27th chapter. Our reading begins tonight at verse 32. Verse 32. As they went out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull, they offered him wine to drink, mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there. And over his head they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and then we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now, if he desires him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land, until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, "This man is calling Elijah." And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice, and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion, and those who were with him keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." There were also many women there, looking on him from a distance, who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him. Among them were Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who was also a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered that it be given to him. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen shroud and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had cut in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. The next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember how that impostor said, while he was still alive, 'After 3 days I will rise.' Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people he has risen from the dead. And the last fraud will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard of soldiers. Go, make it as secure as you can." So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We continue with our hymn of the day, 571, God Loved the World, 571.
Thank you.
that portion of God's Word that we shall read and consider this evening. The Holy Ghost has caused to be recorded in Isaiah chapter 53, verses 10 and 12, where we read as follows. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief when his soul makes an offering for guilt. He shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. Deus vult. God wills it. This was the battle cry of the people when Pope Urban II declared the First Crusade. Deus vult. But was this the will of God? Often, sinful men make all kinds of excuses and claim to be following God's will when in fact they are simply following selfish and greedy desires. This is always the will of man. But what about the will of God? When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we say, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And yet many Christians are confused about the will of God. Many people think the will of God is a secret and you have to guess to find His will for your life. But Scripture reveals God's will plainly. Why was, as Isaiah writes, Jesus led to the slaughter? Why was He stricken, smitten, and afflicted? Why was He cut off out of the land of the living? We could answer and say, well, it was the Jews. They delivered Jesus over to the Romans. Or it was the Romans. They crucified Him. Better than either of these answers, we could answer, it was for our sins that He died. And all of these are true. Yes, we sinful men were responsible for nailing Christ to His cross. But we weren't in control of the situation. We were only doing what God allowed us to do according to His will. And so now we come to what may be the most offensive statement in all of Scripture. It was the will of the Lord to crush him. Are you so certain that you can pray, "Thy will be done"? Literally in Hebrew, this could read, "And Yahweh delights in the crushing of him." And these words are hard to hear. Is God a sadist, as some accuse him? Is he guilty of divine child abuse? How could anyone serve a God who takes delight in crushing his own son? This attacks our most fundamental ideas of who God is. God is love. Everyone knows this. God is mercy. Yes, this is true. But God is also perfect justice. And these two attributes seem to be in conflict with each other. Mercy lets the guilty go free, but justice demands that there be punishment for guilt. Consider God's command to Abraham that we heard in our Old Testament reading on Sunday. "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." God's command appears to contradict His own nature. How could a God of love and mercy demand this horrible thing? And many people have rejected the God of Scripture because of this passage. But the problem here, the conflict, does not arise from God's nature. God's mercy and His justice are not in conflict until there is sin. And sin is our contribution. The problem starts with us. And God's Word is clear. The soul who sins shall die. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. God would have us consider the monstrosity of our sin. He would have us consider the terrible cost of our rebellion against Him. And so He says, take your Son, your only Son, whom you love. But this is such a horrible price that justice requires that God in mercy stays Abraham's hand. The price is too great for Abraham to pay. And even if he had gone through with it, the blood of Isaac could not wash away the guilt of sin. Abraham had said on the way up the mountain, God will provide for Himself the lamb. And these words may have been far more true than Abraham understood at the time. For even as Abraham unbound his son Isaac and took him down from the altar, God had already bound Himself by His promise to be the lamb in Isaac's place. For God so loved the world that He took His Son, His one and only Son, whom He loved, and He offered Him up as a burnt offering on the mountain which He showed to us, the mountain called Calvary. This was the terrible price of our sin. And God was willing to pay it. More than willing, God delighted to pay it. And Christ Himself, for the joy set before Him, He endured His cross. And so here at Calvary, we see what human understanding cannot comprehend or reconcile. We see the revelation of God's mercy and God's justice meeting together here at the cross. The psalmist wrote of this, "Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other." Mercy and justice meet at the cross and nowhere else. And this is the will of God. And then without any transition, Isaiah moves directly from Good Friday to Easter Sunday. "He shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." There's only one way for the suffering servant who was cut off out of the land of the living to have his days prolonged. Isaiah, through the Holy Spirit, is speaking of the resurrection. Not only did he speak of the suffering and death of Christ, but he foretold Christ's triumphant return from the dead. And Paul tells us that Christ, who is raised from the dead, is the first fruits of them that sleep. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. This is the will of God, that none would perish, but that all should reach repentance. God desires to bring many sons to glory, and in Christ this desire is accomplished. He shall see his offspring. Isaiah speaks of you, the children of God, and the will of the Lord to save shall be accomplished, shall prosper by the hand of Christ. Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. The wrath of God could never be satisfied with the blood of goats and bulls, not even satisfied with the blood of Abraham's son Isaac, but it was satisfied forever for you and for all by the blood of God's righteous Son. He was counted as a lawbreaker in our place. Isaiah tells us he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. He who knew no sin became sin in your place, and he was counted. This is a legal term. It was reckoned that he was not just a transgressor, but the only transgressor. And all the wrath of God that is revealed against all unrighteousness was poured out in full upon Christ, our burnt offering. And he was utterly consumed along with our sin. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquity. Just as Christ was counted a sinner in your place, so you are counted righteous in his place. He bore your iniquity, and you bear his perfect life, his obedient death, his righteousness. This is a historical fact. It literally happened. Justice and mercy met together at the cross, and this gift is yours through faith. And Isaiah speaks of this. By his knowledge, by the knowledge of him, by knowing him, many are counted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquity. The just shall live by this faith. You weren't made righteous by anything you did or by anything you could offer up to God. The only thing we had to offer to God was our sin. But you were declared righteous through the suffering of the one who became sin in our place. And so the just, the ones that God has made righteous, shall live in and by this faith, the faith and knowledge of Christ. Deus vult. God wills it. This is the will of God. You will live in and by this faith, trusting in your suffering servant, our spotless offering who went to the altar in our place until he gathers us to be with him for eternity. This is the will of the Lord, and we Christians respond in joy, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in this faith, trusting in our suffering servant unto life everlasting. Amen. We stand to confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things are made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven.
Almighty, eternal, worthy to be held in reverence by all people everywhere, we give you humble and sincere thanks for the innumerable blessings that you have bestowed on us without any merit or worthiness on our part. We praise you especially for preserving for us your saving word and the holy sacraments. Grant and preserve to your holy church throughout the world purity of doctrine, and provide faithful pastors to preach your word with power. Protect and defend your church in all tribulation and danger. Strengthen us and all fellow Christians to set our hopes fully on the grace revealed in Christ, and help us to fight the good fight of faith, that in the end we may receive the salvation of our souls. We commend to you the care of our schools, especially Good Shepherd Lutheran School and Preschool, so that our children may grow in useful knowledge and Christian virtue, and thus bring forth wholesome fruits of life. Grant your blessing to Mr. Keith Barragay as he considers our call. Grant him godly wisdom. Graciously defend us from all calamity by fire and water, from war and pestilence, from scarcity and famine, and from every other evil. Be the God and Father of the lonely and the forsaken, the helper of the sick and the needy, the comforter of the distressed and those who sorrow. We especially this night remember Cassie Borneman, hospitalized in Omaha, and Elaine Egner, who had a procedure this morning. Grant your Holy Spirit to those who come to the Lord's table this day, that they may receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ in sincere repentance and a firm faith, and to their abundant blessing. As we are strangers and pilgrims on earth, help us by true faith and a godly life to prepare for the world to come, doing the work you have given us to do while it is day, before the night comes when no one can work. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. halfway, page 159. Right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of His body and His blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Mercy on us, when our bodies take away, the sin of the world. Have mercy on us, when our bodies take away, the sin of the world. Have mercy on us, when our bodies take away, the sin of the world. body of Christ. Body of Christ. The body of Christ.
body, precious blood of our crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Depart with peace, with great joy. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. We stand and we sing the Nunc Dimittis, page 165. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give to you peace.
Amen.
You may be seated. Hymn 878.